from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here at Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. Final day of SEC Media Days, so we will have all of the audio from the four teams, coaches, players, and all that are there today. We got a little bit from Quinn Ewers, quarterback of Texas, Steve Sarkisian, and others in just a few minutes. In the big story, Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20 as well, talk some Falcons. His training camp opens next week on Wednesday. We will be there live in Flowery Branch, broadcasting live from the Ticketmaster studios next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then we'll get to the AMA at 1:40 as well. Any question, any topic, get the phone lines open. Great phone calls yesterday,
yeah, man.
By the way. Really, really good questions yesterday. Phone lines 404-726-0929. All that coming up in the final hour of the show.
Yeah, man. Tiger's struggling, man. Tiger's on the
Yeah, Tiger's playing like Tiger.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. This is kind of what it is, you know. It's fun to watch because it's him, and then it's kind of sad to watch because it's him. And then maybe he can grind out two rounds, and you could watch four rounds of him. Doesn't look like that's what it's going to be this week.
No, he's playing two.
Yeah, he's six.
He might
over.
Not play this one.
He might. Yeah, it might be one of those ones where the back tightens up tonight a little bit.
Yeah, he might just play this one.
Yeah, he's good for one. He's good for those every once in a while.
That bike get tight.
He's like, dude, I shot an 84 today. Am I really going to? Because it's got. We talk about this all the time. It's got to take him hours to get ready for all the stuff he's got to do and whatever, hot, cold, injection, creams, all whatever. It's just to get ready for a round. You're out of it after Thursday. Why even play Friday?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just pack it up.
Pack it up.
Walk the course. Be a fan.
I'm sure there are some places over there that you know that you can go hang out at.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got some favorite spots.
Yeah, I mean, you sang
him
on
that? Him and Rory going to open up a sports bar at St. Andrews or something, right?
They are. No, is that?
Him and somebody.
Him and somebody opened up something.
It's not Rory. Was it Rory?
I don't know, but I know Tiger and somebody opening up something.
So, all right, just head on up to, I mean, he's already in Scotland, so just head up the road, go check it out, do some site specs or whatever. I don't know what you do when you have to open up a restaurant. Try out the menu.
Try out the menu.
We went to dinner last night, and we walked in, and the people, I don't know who make these decisions, but like the wine people, they were doing a wine tasting with a vendor. So there was like 40 bottles of wine on the table, and a couple of, like, I don't know if it's the owner of the restaurant or the main bartender or whatever, was tasting all these different wines. I was like, that's a good day.
That's a hell of a job.
Like, that's the one. I don't know if that happens once a year, once a month, once a quarter, whatever it is, but I was like, I want to go sit with that guy. He's just pouring different glasses. He's got 40 different bottles of wine right there he's trying out.
Hey, man,
that's a nice job to have.
That's a nice job to have. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, you kind of figure how it's going to go for Tiger once you know he's going to play. You still want to see
it. I talk myself into it. Like, I watch the practice round. I'm like, oh, he looks a little bit less bloated. He looks.
Is he limping? No limp.
Yeah. Then you talk yourself into, like, is what's better for him, hot weather or cold weather?
Right.
Neither.
Right.
Both awful.
Both of them.
Tiger just looks miserable for 18 holes every time he plays.
Yeah, because it's not.
His face is just a grimace.
Like,
the whole
he
time.
Thinks he can win, but you know he can't.
Yeah. He's got the weight of the world on his back. Man. And he doesn't have the back to carry it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
and sad. So, yeah.
But I'm still going to show up every single Thursday.
I know you're going to show up
right in front of the TV.
You got your Tiger tracker still.
Myself into it. Yeah, he's one of my. He's on my ESPN.com app. He's one of the golfers I have highlighted.
Uh-huh.
Him and Hovland. Oh, Hovland also sucks today.
Well, I mean, that's your people, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your people.
I'll root for him.
So you got to root for him.
Thick and thin.
Thin
right now.
He's going to. You know, we were talking about the ESPN list and everything. I mean, that run that he had was just. I'm talking about Tiger. It was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. Won't ever be matched.
I agree.
Won't ever be matched.
There's there's some numbers right now from the year that Scottie Scheffler's putting up. That some of them are sort of like, oh, that's kind of close here, and that's kind of
He'll fall off.
He will. And also you're just gonna. If you're saying, because people try to make the arguments, like, well, I'm just saying, come out. Do you think that Scotty would have beat him?
No.
Like, 2000 Tiger versus this version of Scotty?
No.
Okay. Then that's it. Because of course he wouldn't have. Because no one could. He won the damn U.S. Open by 15 strokes.
Yeah. No,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, man. Hell, Tiger been in jail too, bruh.
Not to say, again.
And Holden Center.
I don't want it to be anything negative about Scotty. Scotty's incredible and he's having a great year, but.
I'll say something negative about him.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's always like someone starts to have a really good year and it's like, wow, it's like almost approaching Tiger. Yeah, right. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost approaching. Not approaching. Not there.
I'll talk that trash then. No, Scotty. All right, Tiger been locked up too.
Yeah.
So
multiple times.
How many times Tiger been locked up?
It's a couple. Couple driving incidents. Only one bad mugshot though. Or good mugshot.
Yeah.
Depending. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're gonna do it, earn it. He earned it.
He damn sure did.
Dude thought he was in California.
That's unbelievable.
Man was in Florida.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
With a damn dry foot.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all.
Not good.
But anyway, he's always the greatest.
He'll have some free time on the weekend, so we know that.
I'm sure Charlie got a third tournament, something that he probably couldn't make.
Now he'll be there.
Now you can.
He'll be there to watch Charlie play over the weekend. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow! Tiger needs that. Needs QC Kinetics.
I think that kind of goes to show what we're capable of as a whole. And I think the biggest thing for us is, we're capable of playing games the way we played that one. But, now we just have to really do it on a much more consistent level. And because, week in and week out, we're playing tough opponents. So I definitely can agree with that. You know, going into Alabama and playing, one of the hardest and one of the hardest stadiums to play in and, against, one of the greatest coaches ever. It's definitely not easy to go in there and accomplish what we accomplished.
So that's Quinn Ewers, quarterback, Texas Longhorns. The question was, does going into Tuscaloosa last year and beating Alabama kind of validate or prove that you belong in the SEC? I guess it was a good win for sure. They made the playoff last year. It's kind of validating as well. They're also a really talented roster in their Texas.
Right.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, there's no, you can't really validate it until you validate it.
I mean, we'll see. I think that, that was a good win for them. It was a big win for them when they went in the
biggest win they had all year, I think.
Yeah, and I think that, when you look at it from that premise, I mean, coming to the SEC, do they have the roster to come into this conference? Yeah, mm-hmm. They do. They have the roster. I think if they were still in the Big 12, with this team, they would run away with it.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I think they run away with it.
I agree.
The conference, but they don't. They're in this different conference right here, and you have the thing that that you have. You have a supremely over talented roster. Their biggest thing that they have now that they have not had, they got depth.
They do.
They got depth,
and it's going to matter this year. It always matters, but it's going to matter more than it ever has. You got Michigan week 2. You got Georgia on October 19th. The week before that, you have Oklahoma. They didn't have that before. You didn't have back to back weeks like that. if you played Oklahoma, which they did, the next week you probably played Kansas.
Yes.
Now you play Georgia the week after that. But then you get Vanderbilt, which is nice. But then you get Florida and Arkansas and Kentucky and Texas A&M, which is a huge rivalry game for them. That's which
crazy.
Is super fun that's coming
back. I'm so
back.
Glad it's back. I love that rivalry. The Arkansas-Texas, I mean, I know they played each other 2 years ago, and Arkansas won that game. Yeah. But that was a bitter rivalry back in the, what was it, the Big Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Those days right there. And so, I mean,
the fans hate each other.
Yes, like, that is the thing about it. They're coming into the conference, but they're coming into the conference against foes, at least three foes, that are from the old school, mm-hmm. you know, Big Eight division, you know, with the SMUs and all that cheating and stuff. So, yeah, those fan bases all hate each other. A&M, Texas, Texas, Arkansas, those hate each other. And so that's going to be even more fun because you bring in those fan bases back against each other. And obviously, Texas A&M, Texas was always a big deal.
Yeah, it's a good thing that this is happening now for Texas, kind of where they are. You know what I mean? Like where Sark's been able to build them over the last handful of years and the guys they're bringing back and the guys they've been able to bring in and the roster that they've compiled. If this happened like 5 years ago, it would have been bad news for Texas. Because they weren't good.
Oh, yeah. But
they would have been embarrassed
in the
SEC.
They came in.
They're coming in at the right time for them.
Exactly. Not necessarily for the conference, but for them because of the fact is that they have players that can play in this league. They have players and they have a team
that's
one of the best in the country.
This and version no of Texas is going to be fine.
No matter what conference they were will be in right now. This current team theirs, they'll still be a top three team in America.
Yeah, now it's just a matter of making sure that you can maintain this version of Texas. It seems like you should be able to.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
I don't know.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be able to?
I don't know why you wouldn't be able to, but why hadn't they for 15 years before that?
And
it's
you
crazy.
Said it. It's the wrong coach.
Yeah.
It's the wrong coach.
Yep.
You still were competing with other people for those top players in Texas. It wasn't they were just all going to Texas. I'm not saying they're all going now, but I'm just saying there were so many different things. I think they always had the wrong guy. I think they had too much meddling. And I'm not saying they don't meddle now, but the meddling is worse when you lose them as opposed to winning.
Oh, yeah. You win, you know, you make the playoff last year, great, in a four-team playoff.
Yep.
Make the playoff again this year if they're able to do that. Yeah, the meddling, or at least you can, like, put up some firewalls. Yeah. Like, you got a guy that deals with the meddler, you know what I mean? He doesn't have direct access to you like he did when you're only winning six games a year, seven games a year.
But it's like those dudes just come to your office, dude. They don't say, tell coach I'm here or nothing. They just walk in.
But now, you know, we went to the playoff. You might have to make an appointment.
You might have to.
Or at least text you first.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, this is one of the big boosters. He said he's coming by.
Come by round two.
Yeah. Instead of walking in there, he's sitting at your desk.
Yeah.
He's sitting on your side of your desk.
He flips around in the chair. Yeah. He's got his big cowboy hat on.
How's it going there, Sark? We ain't pay for it. We didn't give you all this money for this.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to have this version of Texas. I mean, it's fun to have them in Oklahoma in the SEC anyway. It's just more fun with them being good. You know what I mean? It just adds more flavor to it. Georgia going to Austin this year. I know we found out that we were kind of playing at where game day would be at the beginning of the season. Game day is going to be at that A&M game the first weekend of the season. So they won't be in Atlanta for the Georgia-Clemson game. I was just thinking ahead, like, if they had been, there would have been a chance that they'd be at four Georgia games this year, game day, and none of them would be in Athens.
It's crazy.
Could have been in Atlanta, could have been in Tuscaloosa, could have been in Austin, and could have been in Oxford.
Yeah.
Georgia's got a hard schedule.
Yeah, but the thing about it is like, where is their strength of schedule relate? Because they're Georgia. They're not Georgia Tech going against you. It's still Georgia playing against these teams.
Yeah.
That's why I always like, oh, they got a hard schedule. Yeah, they got a hard-ass schedule, but they're Georgia. This ain't no other, you know.
Yeah, they have a hard strength of schedule. You know what else they have?
What?
A great strength of roster.
Yes.
They're going to be okay.
They're going to be fine.
According to this, and I think I'm right. That's what this says. College football strength of schedule 2024. Hardest schedule in the country?
Florida.
Yeah. Followed by Georgia Tech.
Really?
That's what it says.
Wow.
That's what the article says. They got a number next to it. Scrolling down, Georgia not in the top 10.
There you go.
Georgia 15. 15th hardest schedule.
Having to go to
I don't know.
Tuscaloosa.
I guess the non-conference is pretty cakey.
Who are we playing?
Pretty cakey.
Clemson and some other bum.
Georgia Tech.
Andy.
I was just answering a question with a fact. All right, we'll come back. Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us. We'll talk some Falcons. Training camp less than a week away. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
.929 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy every single day, 11 to 2, right here on this very radio station. You know what else you can do? You can subscribe to our podcast, the Andy and Randy podcast. It'll show up right there on your phone, whether on the Odyssey app, you could Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe. You get that extra little bonus 15-minute off-the-cuff podcast every single day. Where we're allowed to cuss.
Yes, it was. We didn't curse that much today.
No, it was pretty tame today.
It was tame. It was just a funny podcast.
Yeah. It was a respectful, interesting conversation about on athleticism.
Yeah. And it was like one of those things where I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And the little fellow over there had to stick his chest out. Come on, man.
Yeah, it was just a continuation of an AMA question from yesterday.
Yes.
With Abe and Randy and running and racing and all kinds of stuff. So I would encourage you to check it out. It got pretty funny. Got a little tense.
It was not tense. It was just funny.
It was tense for me because any conflict is tense. I don't know why.
You're a tense conflict
like,
guy?
Yeah, I flashbacks like my parents arguing. I'm like a kid, and you know what I mean? Not really.
Oh, I'm about to say because I was.
Takes me back, Randy. I can't.
Like, damn, you need a hug?
I do.
Oh, no. Nah. Well, I can't get you. I can hug you about most things. I can't hug you about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't.
You know who's not going to hug me about anything?
Hell no.
Smoking Joe Patrick. Let's get him in here.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us every Thursday at this time, the final appearance before training camp begins. Joe, how are you?
Oh man, I'm good. No hugs from me, by the way. You don't have to worry about that. Oh. I don't like touching people.
No, we know unless it's with your fists.
That. We know that, Joe. We know this about
unless
Joe.
This is with your fists or the bottom of your feet. We know that. Stomping people.
Maybe that's why I'm still single. Who knows?
Yeah, you got to start touching some people. Yeah, you know what man. I mean? You'll be okay. What's the biggest question on your mind a week before camp? Obviously, we'll be out there Wednesday. What are you looking to get to the bottom of next week?
You know, I don't know if there's like one huge thing, but I think there are lots of little interesting things to watch out for. I mean, so many position battles on this team that we aren't really that familiar with, or at least I'm not, the last couple of years with where this Falcons team has been on the roster, and just in terms of the amount of talent that they've had. There's been a lot of just kind of clear-cut, defined starters kind of coming into camp, and just not a lot of – well, I should say in 2022, there was just not a lot of talent in general. So then you did have some fighting for roster spots, but it didn't really felt like it meant a whole lot. And then last year, obviously, you have these kind of marquee signings that you're bringing in, guys who are going to fill clear spots in the starting lineup on both sides of the ball. And this year, I feel like the first year where you have legitimate NFL talent that's going to be competing for spots, maybe not necessarily on the roster, but especially just in terms of what the playing time is going to be. So, for example, at the wide receiver role, I think we have obviously the team has amassed all these offensive skill position players over the years in the draft. You know that Kyle Pitts and Drake London are going to be out there, and even Darnell Mooney with the free agency, with the free agent deal that he signed with the Falcons. But, you know, kind of who wins that other role, which I think is going to be a very important role in this new Zach Robinson offense that we're going to see between a guy like Ray McCloud and a guy like Rondale Moore. You know, both kind of similar types, and both can, you know, maybe have a part to play in the return game. But I think those guys will definitely be battling for spots. So that's one of them. I think on that defensive line is probably where you've got the most kind of NFL caliber players that are going to be competing for spots. And we don't know exactly how the rotation is going to shake out on that defensive line with Jimmy Lake. When you've got guys, both they kind of, you know, there's a lot of talk about the team skipping over the pass rush, the defensive line because of the Penix pick. But then after that, they really kind of went full bore into that defensive line. So you got a lot of young players there, including second year players from that were drafted last year. Plus, you know, guys kind of coming back into the fold like Kentavious Streets. You got Lakeil London, who was given a contract last year, a two-year deal, so he's under contract for the team. There's lots of, you know, and then obviously how is Grady Jarrett going to be coming back? He's probably not going to play a huge part of training camp. It'll be interesting to see how much he actually participates in things and what his ramp-up looks like. But, yeah, I mean, I think there are just lots of little position battles, of course, going on all over the place.
Joe, do you anticipate any of the players coming in on the PUP this year?
On the what?
On the PUP.
The PEP, what is that?
The pup list.
Yeah. Not to my knowledge. I don't know of any, you know, maybe Grady would be, seems like a likely candidate for that, guys who are coming off of those long-term injuries, but I honestly don't know. And I think maybe some of it is also determined by, you know, how they are evaluated when they come into camp. But, you know, as of, you know, where we were at minicamp, I don't think there's like any major news on that front. In fact, I think I know this is like not necessarily related to the PUP, but like the attendance was very good for the Falcons, where a lot of teams around the league were having trouble with, you know, some guys under contract situations and things like that. And even the Falcons do have some guys under some interesting contract circumstances, like AJ Terrell, but he was, you know, a full participant at there all throughout OTAs and everything. So, I don't expect much to get in the Falcons' way in terms of absences, whether it's PUP or otherwise.
They were able to plan their trips to Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt and everything like that.
Times that didn't conflict with team stuff. How do you think, remember last year, I don't remember really talking that much about it other than it'll be interesting to see how Kyle Pitts looks coming off of injury. I didn't know how they were going to be like holding him back, and he had a brace on at the beginning of camp and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we kind of saw it. And then as the season started, they were like, yeah, he can't really do everything. That's part of why it's not as productive. Like, all right. What do you think that process will be like for Kirk Cousins? Like, I know that you've been able to see him at some of the stuff they've had before, but how involved will he be when everything gets underway next week? And how do you think they'll play his return coming off of his injury?
I mean, I have to assume that they're going to basically be full go with him. Obviously, the quarterbacks are not going to get touched in training camp, and that's why I would think that he's not going to play in any preseason games, just because of the optic situation of if he were to get hurt, if something were to happen in one of those games, it would just look terrible. And I think that Kirk is a guy who's been around the league long enough. I would think that he'd be able to get himself ready to go, and he knows what to expect when week one comes around. But, you know, to your point, Andy, I think it will be interesting and worth monitoring just exactly how he looks when he's out there, and not necessarily just on the throws, but like, How comfortable does he look like, you know, getting out to make the handoff on a wide zone stretch when he's under center, or just generally just when he's under center? How do the dropbacks look? How does the, you know, him getting to his different spots for, you know, handoffs on different running plays look? you know, that's, I think, going to be the best way we can kind of go about analyzing his physical rehabilitation and getting ready for the season. But again, I gotta say, guys, like, I was super impressed with how he looked. Just, I know it was minicamp and, or, you know, minicamp and OTAs, and these guys weren't in pads and everything, but man, he looked pretty amazing considering the injury he was coming off of. And so you just kind of knock on wood, and I'm sure he is too. And, you know, Kirk also, it's not just luck. Like, he puts in so much work. And I know for a fact that, you know, everything the guys, people saw when they were watching that Netflix quarterback documentary, when he had that rib injury and he's getting all that work done by, you know, his personal people, not just people affiliated with the team or whatever. But I know for a fact he's come down here to Atlanta. He's found his own team of people who will continue to kind of help his body recover off the field. And they've been doing that work over the last several weeks and months. And, you know, I think he's probably just kind of chomping at the bit, ready to get out there and play and kind of prove to people, honestly. I think with everything that's happened this offseason, I think that he, more than anybody else, is ready to get out there and prove that he's still one of the better quarterbacks in this league. And we'll see how it plays out for him.
I got a question for Joe, because I know earlier on in the offseason, they were talking about Bijan, and as far as Rod talked about getting him the ball more. He had 214 carries last year compared to Tyler Algier's 186. Do you see those possibility where those carries might, you know, be dispersed a little bit more towards him? And, I mean, the 186 might come down for Tyler Algier's?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're likely to see the ratio kind of move more in Bijan's favor, where he's going to get more of the bulk of the carries. I do think it'll be interesting to see how or what situations the team does use out Tyler Algier in, because he's still a talented and, like, capable back who can definitely capitalize on opponents when they're not ready for the kind of power that he runs with. And it's kind of funny because we consider him a power back, which I do think he is, but I think one of the best kind of plays that he executes is that wide zone run, which you would think someone like Bijan would be great at, which he is good at as well, because of the agility and everything. But when Tyler Algier gets ahead of steam going on that off that tackle on the outside, I mean, those outside linebackers have a tough time bringing him down just because he's got that low center of gravity. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how much Zach Robinson does want to lean on him. And maybe, is it situational? Obviously, Arthur Smith really likes to use Tyler Algier in some of those goal line situations. I kind of get the sense that they will stick with Bijan most of the time, and that Tyler's appearances will basically be down to stamina related things. Just like, if Bijan's just too tired to be out there and needs a blow, that's when you'll see Tyler Algier in the game. But and the other thing is that, you know, the amount of carries is going to come down, obviously, for Tyler Algier, not just because of the ratio is going to sway more towards, you know, force feeding the ball to Bijan a little bit more, but also, you know, this team just ran the ball so much under Arthur Smith because of the lack of quarterback play. I think you're going to see a much more balanced offense in terms of the kind of throw to run ratio. And therefore, you're just going to see the carry numbers kind of come down across the board as well.
I know he had a little foot, ankle, something or other in the offseason from training Bijan.
Yeah.
Is that something that we'll be keeping an eye on next week, or did they already sort of clear that up as no big deal?
Doesn't seem to be anything to be worried about. Bijan kind of talked about it. I think maybe when we were there for mandatory minicamp, but I can't remember exactly when we talked to him about it. But, like, he just said, he kind of, like, told the team that it felt a little weird because he'd been working out really hard over the course of the offseason, I think down in Texas or in Austin, where he kind of keeps a home base there. And so he was still, like, doing a lot of work and stuff, but then just kind of reported back to the camp and just said it wasn't feeling right. And so the team opted to just, you know, let him rest it. Don't push him during this period of time. Not really necessary. He could still take all the mental reps. And he was out there, you know, with the team, just not dressed out, but he would still basically be kind of watching the drills go down and kind of just being an observer, despite not playing. And yeah, I would expect him to be just full bore, ready to go in training camp. I just generally think that this team, especially these young players, are just really excited to, like, finally, I think, show the world, basically, for lack of a better phrase, like, what they're capable of, because these guys come from really successful collegiate careers, and then, you know, they've come into the NFL and, you know, just been surrounded by this narrative of basically being, like, underachievers essentially for the last year or two. So I think a lot of these guys are just, like, cannot wait to kind of expose themselves to the world and their talents and just how good they can really be and kind of really put this narrative to bed, honestly. I think this team is really ready to turn over a new page and start a new chapter under Raheem Morris.
Hey, JP, how much access are you guys going to have? Because I know the fans aren't going to be out there. So are they going to treat it like a regular season practice where you guys can only be out there for the first part of practice, or are they going to let y'all be out there the whole time?
No, we should be out there the whole time. So I've got my notepad ready. In fact, I was just meeting with a fellow reporter yesterday for lunch to kind of talk about what we're going to do. And, talking about, can't get distracted out there. Got to keep eyes on the field, keep the diligent notes for the people, because that's what we're out there for. I feel personally, and I'm sure you guys feel as well, like a personal responsibility to the fans because they're not able to be out there to try to relay exactly what's happening to the best of our abilities. I'm grateful for that opportunity, but that's what's always most interesting about training camp is that you get to actually see the entirety of the practice.
What the hell are you trying to get brownie points with, Joe?
Is that how you feel, Randy?
Who the hell are you trying to get brownie points for, Joe?
See, as a former player, Randy hates the fact that the media is out there watching the whole thing.
Do you feel an obligation to the fans?
To do what?
Like what Joe's talking about. Is that how you're also feeling?
Oh, no, I'm nothing like that.
That's funny.
I love how Joe
when you said that, I looked at Randy and I was like, that's not how Randy feels. All right, Joe, we can't wait. To see you next week, man.
See you guys next week.
All right, Smoking Joe Patrick there every Thursday. 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. Training camp. 6 days away.
Yeah, the Falcons have announced they're going to wear the red helmets, black jerseys 3 times next year against the Saints, the Bucks, and the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah. Wish they'd do it more.
Yeah, always. the whole time. They're getting closer.
Yeah. I mean, were they 2 games last year?
Yeah, and before years passed, it was none.
Yeah.
We're getting there. How long does it take to realize that's what people want?
I don't know.
Or the black, like the old school black
they
ones.
Know.
Do they?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. They know.
Why don't they just do it then?
I don't know. They got rabbit ears up there. You know that.
Well, then do it. Put them on. People love it.
They don't want to. Just like everybody wants Kirby to wear, they want them to wear with the white jerseys.
Oh, but those look bad.
They are awful.
Yeah, don't do that.
They are awful. The white Georgia jerseys are awful.
Just wear the best version of the jersey that your team and or school has ever had.
Red.
Not everybody. I saw this on Twitter today. Because every other fan base feels like this about their modern jerseys, too, for the most part. Not everybody has to be Oregon.
No.
You don't have to change jerseys every 5 seconds. You got it right in the 90s or 70s or 80s or whatever. Stick with it. Nothing wrong with that. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are wide open. 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. To you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA, every single day at 1:40. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Couple lines if you want to jump on. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll start with Zach, who's in Gwinnett. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Zach.
So this is actually for Abe. Abe, this is a continuation of something that the guys discussed yesterday that I really wish you had been there for. How far would a race have to be for you to beat or at least be competitive against Randy? And also, if you want to throw in how fit you think you are against other Americans, I'm curious as to that too. Thanks.
Okay, so before you jump in, Abe, we did address this on the podcast. There's a long conversation about this on the podcast. Of course, Abe's going to answer it now again, too. But the question yesterday, the AMA question yesterday, Abe, was where if like Olympians and ultra marathoners and stuff like that are in the 99th percentile of fitness, what percentile do you put yourself in terms of fitness?
It's an interesting question because it's said that only 1% of people run a marathon.
You did it.
And I very clearly am not in the top 1% of athletes on earth.
I thought you were about to put yourself in the 99th percentile.
No, but I will say I'm top 30%.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had myself. I
top
was like
30%.
Somewhere around there. Because there's a lot of people that,
never get off the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
In terms of racing, Randy, running, I think I would be competitive but probably not win a 5K. Against Randy, that's 3.1 miles. I think I stand a decent shot. This is assuming Randy's not training for 2 weeks. This is like tomorrow. I think a 10K, I have an opportunity to beat him. I'd feel pretty good about beating him in 10 milers or a half marathon. He disagrees. That's fine. But you know.
I really don't care.
There's that too.
Yeah. I really don't care.
I think that's where I benefit most is like 2 miles in. He's like, you know what? He can have this.
No.
I'd have to run the other 8 miles.
It would never get 2 miles.
It would never get 2 miles.
That's the part of the discussion that's hard is it'll never happen.
Yeah.
So
let me just, separate of you and I hypothetically racing, like how fast all out do you think you could do a mile right now?
How fast can I do a mile?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's not about that. It's about the competition that I would crush you because I would want to crush you.
Yeah, it's definitely not about that. It's definitely about fitness and breathing and legs.
That's your problem. That's your problem right there. You keep thinking that. Yeah, you keep thinking
But you don't have any guess?
You don't have the inner drive that I have to whip your ass. Right? So I would smoke you, dog. I'm just telling you right now. Go to the next caller,
this
please.
There's a lot of overconfidence. I think you misread my competitiveness.
I don't care. Dude. Hey, this ain't no rec league, soccer league over here, bro.
Why can't you answer the question, dog?
Yeah.
I think he's worried that he's going to say at the time right now that I already know I can beat.
You don't worry nothing about me, son. All right? I don't run miles, all right? But I will beat you. How about
that? Have the inner drive that I have to whip
your ass.
Drive
to whip your ass.
It's one of the funniest things I've heard.
That's all it is.
Big Mel is in Johns Creek. Hey, Big Mel.
Yo, y'all hilarious. A don't understand. Randy will give him the business.
He don't understand that, but I'll let him keep talking about all these quagmires and all that other crap while he's looking at my numbers.
Not even that. You're gonna get Randy out the cave with a stogie in the bed just to even compete with that. Exactly. That's a waste of time.
Exactly.
But, anyway, we're gonna continue with A.
All right.
Mr. Randy, Mr. Andy, as the president of the Yams committee, can we put out an all-points bulletin to find this man some yams? He needs something with his time. He's doing puzzles, puzzling things. He just said he will play that college football, even though his woman in the back.
He did.
Yeah, we got to find him some yams, some kumquats, some sweet potatoes, something.
What the hell?
We got to find everybody that's listening. We gonna find Abe somebody.
There we go.
All right, Big Mel, I appreciate it.
Abe is fine. I know that, right? I think Abe got something on the side that he just don't tell. Abe keeps his private life.
I can confirm. I definitely don't. I wish I did.
Man, just shut up sometimes, Abe. Oh, we trying to keep you. We trying to keep these folks up off you.
I was gonna say the same thing.
I'm gonna ride my dude.
The hell he does.
I think Abe got someone on the side. He just keep his on the low.
I don't.
I do. Because Abe is a silent assassin, dog. All right?
Abe's not been silent one single solitary second in his life.
Assassins are silent.
He's not silent. So he's not an assassin.
Okay. I bet, man. I bet Abe Josh.
I will say this. You know what's funny is when Hugh was here.
He's a loud, the opposite of assassin.
When Hugh was here, he came out with me one time.
Yes.
And he was confident based on seeing me over the course of 2.5 hours that I was doing fine. And I always found that hilarious.
I think Abe got one there. I just do.
You're gonna back that up with any sort of thought process, he's just gonna say it.
These are the ones that be getting them though. That's what I'm saying. Nice guy. Good at trivia. Know stuff. Dog guy. Come on, man.
So much to the other side of that, I ran out of swipes last night. That's where we're at.
Did you really?
You did what?
You ran out of swipes?
I ran out of swipes last night.
I didn't know you could.
What the hell are you talking about?
Couldn't sleep, man.
Probably Tinder, I assume?
No, it was a different one.
Different one.
You ran out of swipes.
You gotta pay for premium.
Tell them where you're at.
How the hell do you run out of swipes?
Tell them where you're at.
There's a number, man.
What is it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know the number. I just kept
swiping. I think he's rocking the free version of whatever.
Is it Bumble?
I'm trying to check. Yeah, it was.
Is it J-Date?
No.
Are you just laying in bed swiping?
Last night, I couldn't sleep, man. Got home from United. I was perturbed by the result.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know what really kept me up?
Nope.
Thinking how hard I'd have to train to beat you in a race.
Thinking about racing Randy, yeah.
You think about racing me instead of stopping on somebody. You just kept swiping.
I ran out of like positive swipes.
They were positive swiping you?
No.
Yeah.
I'd have lost. I'm lost.
It was me saying yes and awaiting the response.
How many yeses do you get before they cut you off? How many swipes do you get before they cut you off?
I'm guessing it's between 15 and 25.
So you were swiping and liking.
The ones that I saw fit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't blind swipe.
My buddy.
What's a blind?
My buddy Jackson would get on this sometimes, and he'd just swipe on everybody.
That's the blind swipe.
That's the blind swipe.
I don't do that.
Yes to everybody.
Why?
Yes to all of them.
Why not?
And then when they say yes to you, then you can look at it.
Randy, you know how you feel like racing me would be a waste of time?
Because what?
Blind swiping on everyone and trying to deal with that, waste of time.
Because there's too many that are out of.
Yeah, there's got to be a potential of something happening here.
Okay, so here, just to go back to what Big Mel was talking about, trying to help Shelton, he's doing his own work. He's swiping. There's no swipes left. They did do a thing years ago with our former assistant program director, Sean Thompson.
I will not do that.
No?
Okay. I will not do that to Abe. There's no way I would do that to Abe. Mm-mm.
Okay.
But what are you saying? What? You got a face like, no, we're not doing that to Abe. Like putting Abe on a blind date?
Well, it was like a dating game. Like they had people apply, and then they came up and they did like questions and stuff, and then the person that won, they went on a date.
Have you ever talked to Sean about that?
Yeah. It didn't. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
No,
exactly.
It wasn't good.
I would never do that, Abe. I'm not doing that, Abe.
You got to do something.
No. Abe is a killer, man. I'm telling you.
Did you not just hear a story about swiping?
He don't want to put us on. He don't want to put us on his game, man. That's all.
Oh, you think it was a classic redirect? Okay.
Yes.
So again, never mind.
Just don't do it.
Takeaways of the day.
As our show hits into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway
never
of the
mind.
Day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I just caught a whole lot of them. One, I do. My takeaway is I believe that Abe is a silent assassin. I just do. He just keeps folks out of his business, mainly us. Joe Patrick is doing it for the fans.
Joe Patrick said the Falcons' young players can't wait to expose themselves.
Like most young people. If Tiger Woods wouldn't have wanted to be a Navy SEAL and a porn star, he may have won 25 majors.
Yeah.
And, I genuinely believe that.
She walks by in a t-shirt and Nasty Girl's playing. The dynasty can wait.
Yeah, man. I'm just telling you.
Yes.
I've been a nasty girl.
Randy came out the womb hard and grumpy. And Bo should look forward to a tip drill at next year's MLB All-Star game.
Hey, dog. If anything like they had at Ray's house. I doubt it's baseball, though, not basketball.
Must be the, because it ain't the.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. See what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. To you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA, every single day at 1:40. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Couple lines if you want to jump on. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll start with Zach, who's in Gwinnett. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Zach.
So, this is actually for Abe. Abe, this is a continuation of something that the guys discussed yesterday that I really wish you had been there for. How far would a race have to be for you to beat or at least be competitive against Randy? And also, you know, if you want to throw in how fit you think you are against other Americans, I'm curious as to that, too. Thanks.
Okay, so before you jump in, Abe, we did address this on the podcast. There's a long conversation about this on the podcast. Of course, Abe's going to answer it now again, too. But the question yesterday, the AMA question yesterday, Abe, was where if like Olympians and ultra marathoners and stuff like that are in the 99th percentile of fitness, what percentile do you put yourself in terms of fitness?
It's an interesting question because it's said that only 1% of people run a marathon.
You did it.
And I very clearly am not in the top 1% of athletes on earth.
I thought you were about to put yourself in the 99th percentile.
No, but I will say I'm top 30%.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had myself. I
was top 30%.
Somewhere around there. Because like, there's a lot of people that, you know.
Never get off the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
In terms of racing, Randy, running, I think I would be competitive but probably not win a 5K. Against Randy, that's 3.1 miles. I think I stand a decent shot. This is assuming Randy's not training for 2 weeks. This is like tomorrow. I think a 10K, I have an opportunity to beat him. I'd feel pretty good about beating him in 10 milers or a half marathon. He disagrees. That's fine. But, you know.
I really don't care.
There's that, too.
Yeah. I really don't care.
I think that's where I benefit most is like 2 miles in. He's like, you know what? He can have this.
No.
I'd have to run the other 8 miles.
It would never get 2 miles.
It would never get 2 miles.
That's the part of the discussion that's hard is it'll never happen.
Yeah.
So.
Let me just separate of like you and I hypothetically racing. Like how fast all out do you think you could do a mile right now?
How fast can I do a mile?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's not about that. It's about the competition that I would crush you because I would want to crush you.
Yeah, it's definitely not about that. Yeah. It's definitely about fitness and breathing.
That's your
and
problem.
Legs.
That's your problem right there. You keep thinking that. Yeah, you keep thinking.
But
that.
You don't have any guess?
You don't have the inner drive that I have to whip your ass. Right? So I would smoke you, dog. I'm just telling you right now. Go to the next caller,
this
please.
A lot of overconfidence. I think you misread my competitiveness.
I don't care. Dude. Hey, this ain't no rec league soccer league over here, bro.
Why can't you answer the question then?
I don't have to answer the question, dog.
I think he's worried that he's going to say at the time right now that I already know I could beat.
You don't worry nothing about me, son. All right? I don't run miles, all right? But I will beat you. How about
that? Have the inner drive that I have to whip
your ass. Drive to whip your ass.
It's one of the funniest things I've heard.
That's all it is.
Big Mel is in Johns Creek. Hey, Big Mel.
Yo, y'all hilarious. A don't understand. Randy will give him the business.
He don't understand that, but I'll let him keep talking about all these quagmires and all that other crap while he's looking at my numbers.
Not even that. You're gonna get Randy out the cave with a stogie in the bed just to even compete with that. Exactly. That's a waste of time.
Exactly.
But, anyway, we're gonna continue with A.
All right.
Mr. Andy, as the president of the Yams committee, can we put out an all points bulletin to find this man some Yams? He needs something with his time. He's doing puzzles, speed puzzling things. He just said he will play that college football, even though his woman in the back.
He did.
Yeah, we got to find him some Yams, some kumquats, some sweet potatoes, something.
What the hell?
We got to find everybody that's listening. We gonna find Abe somebody.
There we go.
All right, Big Mel, I appreciate it.
Abe is fine. I know that, right? I think Abe got something on the side that he just don't tell. Abe keeps his private life.
I can confirm. I definitely don't. I wish I did.
Man, just shut up sometimes, Abe. Oh, we trying to keep you. We trying to keep these folks up off you.
I was gonna say the same thing.
I'm gonna ride my dude.
The hell he does.
I think Abe got someone on the side. He just keep his on the low.
I don't.
I do. Because Abe, right. Abe is a silent assassin, dog. All right?
Abe's not been silent one single solitary second in his life.
Assassins are silent.
He's not silent. So he's not an assassin.
Okay. I bet, man. I bet AB Josh.
I will say this. You know what's funny is when Hugh was here.
He's allowed the opposite of assassin.
When Hugh was here, he came out with me one time.
Yes.
And he was confident based on seeing me over the course of 2.5 hours that I was doing fine. And I always found that hilarious.
I think Abe got one there. I just do.
You're gonna back that up with any sort of thought process?
These are the ones that be getting them, though. That's what I'm saying. Nice guy. Good at trivia. Know stuff. Dog guy. Come on, man.
So much to the other side of that, I ran out of swipes last night. That's where we're at.
Did you really?
You did what?
You ran out of swipes?
I ran out of swipes last night.
I didn't know you could.
What the hell are you talking about?
Couldn't sleep, man.
Probably Tinder, I assume?
No, it was a different one.
Different one.
You ran out of swipes?
You gotta pay for premium.
Tell them where you're at.
How the hell do you run out of swipes?
Tell them where you're at.
There's a number, man.
What is it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know the number. I just kept
trying. I think he's rocking the free version of whatever.
Is it Bumble?
I'm trying to check. Yeah, it was.
Is it J-Date?
No.
Are you just laying in bed swiping?
Last night, I couldn't sleep, man. Got home from United. I was perturbed by the result.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know what really kept me up?
Nope.
Thinking how hard I'd have to train to beat you in a race.
Thinking about racing Randy, yeah.
You think about racing me instead of stopping on somebody. You just kept swiping.
I ran out of like positive swipes.
They were positive swiping you?
No.
Yeah.
I'd have lost. I'm lost.
It was me saying yes and awaiting the response.
How many yeses do you get before they cut you off? How many swipes do you get before they cut you off?
I'm guessing it's between 15 and 25.
So you were swiping and liking.
On the ones that I saw fit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't blind swipe.
My buddy.
What's a blind?
My buddy Jackson would get on this sometimes, and he'd just swipe on everybody.
That's the blind swipe.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's the blind swipe.
I don't do that.
Yes to everybody.
Why?
Yes to all of them.
Why not?
And then when they say yes to you, then you can look at it.
Randy, you know how you feel like racing me would be a waste of time?
Because of what?
Blind swiping on everyone and trying to deal with that, waste of time.
Because there's too many that are out of.
Yeah, there's got to be a potential of something happening here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here, just to go back to what Big Mel was talking about, trying to help Shelton, he's doing his own work. He's swiping until there's no swipes left. they did do a thing years ago with our former assistant program director, Sean Thompson.
I will not do that.
No?
Okay. I will not do that to Abe. There's no way I would do that to Abe.
Okay.
But what are you saying? What? You got a face like, no, we're not doing that to Abe. Like putting Abe on a blind date?
Well, it was like a dating game. Like they had people apply, and then they came up and they did like questions and stuff, and then the person that won, they went on a date.
Have you ever talked to Sean about that?
Yeah. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
No,
exactly.
It wasn't good.
I would never do that, Abe. I'm not doing that, Abe.
You just gotta do something.
No. Abe is a killer, man. I'm telling you.
Did you not just hear a story about swiping?
He don't want to put us on. He don't want to put us on his game, man. That's all.
Oh, you think it was a classic redirect? Okay.
Yes.
So again, never mind.
Just don't do it.
Takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway
never
of the
mind.
Day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I just caught a whole lot of them. One, I do. My takeaway is I believe that Abe is a silent assassin. I just do. He just keeps folks out of his business, mainly us. Joe Patrick is doing it for the fans.
Joe Patrick said the Falcons' young players can't wait to expose themselves.
Like most young people. If Tiger Woods wouldn't have wanted to be a Navy SEAL and a porn star, he may have won 25 majors.
Yeah.
And, I genuinely believe that.
She walks by in a t-shirt and Nasty Girl's playing. The dynasty can wait.
Yeah, man. I'm just telling you.
Yes.
I've been a nasty girl.
Randy came out the womb hard and grumpy. And Bo should look forward to a tip drill at next year's MLB All-Star game.
Hey, dog. If anything like they had at Ray's house. I doubt it's baseball, though, not basketball.
Must be the, because it ain't the.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. See what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.